This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Jill Dennis, director, owner of the Assured Supervision Accountability Program, otherwise known as ASAP. It's all about electronic ankle monitoring. Jill, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Noel.
Excuse me, Jill. I'm sorry. I understand that there is new legislation being considered in the upcoming legislative session. Tell us about that.
Well, the new legislation that's coming up is just going to include some of the other alert processes that are what we call non-emergency contact. Emergency alerts like strap tampers or victim exclusions were dealt with in the first set of legislation. In the second set of legislation, we're going to deal with the curfew violations. We're going to deal with the maintenance of the devices, ensuring that the courts and law enforcement have access when they need it. That's one of the biggest things that we have done in the process of making sure that the streets of the city are safe, making sure that law enforcement is able to see what's going on. It used to be where someone on an ankle monitor or an offender would commit crimes, and then get caught. And then they'd get caught for that one crime that they got caught doing. However, these other crimes that they have committed through the process of being on an ankle monitor, no one ever knew it was them. And that was one of the things that really helped the city, to the point where we received about 1,800 non-solved violent crimes, and we were able actually to turn over evidence on over 60 to 80 of those cases where someone on an ankle monitor was at that location. And that really opened the door for NOPD, the state troopers, the U.S. Marshals, ATF, ICE, and all of these other law enforcement agencies to get into the system and know how to use it. And we've spent our time doing that across the state.
Yeah, in fact, in a recent interview with Rafael Goyeneche, he really sung the praises of your organization being one of the few that was willing to be open and transparent to law enforcement with a lot of the information that y'all collect. And I say this about vendors such as yourself, is that y'all have some of the best information available. And it's really nice when there's a willingness on your part to share that with law enforcement.
Well, GPS only works if everybody in the criminal justice system has access. People that are on GPS, whether it's pretrial or post-conviction, is still in custody. And the ability for the public, for the media, for the court, for law enforcement to be able to look in and ensure that these people that maybe have, again, the people that we are supervising are not first-time low nonviolent offenders. So for law enforcement to be able to look in and see if these offenders are actually committing new crimes or not is very important, because it's important not only to the community, but to the victims themselves.
You guys have been pushing this transparency issue quite a bit, and I understand that in some of this legislation also y'all have hopes that the information will be out there as to who's enrolled, who's the provider, the judge that's handling this case, and so forth.
One of the things about accountability is when there's accountability, there's no deniability. And when we were out in the Capitol for the first round of legislation, one of the biggest things that was in the legislation since like 1993 is that the DOC would have a registry for everybody on an ankle monitor to be in one place, no different than a jail roster. However, there was no mechanism for that registry. And to me, that was one of the biggest things that was missing. When I left the Capitol and we were able to get the legislation passed, Representative Tim Kerner is amazing. What he did with that legislation is amazing. We even had some legislators add some good amendments to that legislation. But what we did realize was missing was that registry of everybody on an ankle monitor. And at this point, the city of New Orleans and the state of Louisiana has a registration process that is available. It's available free to the public. It's available free to the providers of GPS. And what that does is over 40 agencies all across the country are actually using this database. When they have a situation, they go in, they see who's on an ankle monitor, what their conditions are, what court has ordered them on ankle monitor, and they can also see if they've been violating any of the conditions that were set by the court. To go further, law enforcement agencies all across the state have full access to those location information. And that way, if they do have an offender that may have a warrant or maybe a suspect in a crime, they can actually go in and do that investigations without having to make phone calls or waste more time. Another thing that we're working really hard right now is with the manufacturers, and we're talking with the manufacturers and saying, look, what you guys are doing is amazing, but if your program could do this, it would make those streets so much safer. And they're actually calling, and we're working together to actually fix some things, sort of like when you do a proximity report. A proximity report is you have a crime that happens on the corner of Iberville and Royal Street in broad daylight in the French Quarter. They can put that address in and see if anybody at that location was wearing an ankle monitor. Right now, when they run that, they're running it through ASAP's program, not everybody on an ankle monitor. And we're working right now to say when they run that now, it's going to be everybody on an ankle monitor, not just one program. And that's something that we're working legislatively to make sure happens. I know when you guys were on last week, you were talking about how it was just us. But the database changes that. The database puts, this is somebody that's on ankle monitor, and here's who's supervising it. And then it goes a step further to say, this person's on an ankle monitor, this is who's supervising it, and this is the judge, and this is the violation reports.
This is that y'all are hoping to achieve a standardized template, right? It is that everybody plays by the same rules.
It is. That's what we need. If we want to ensure overcrowded jails at this point, I mean, it's not just something that we're facing in New Orleans. That's something all across the state. It doesn't matter where you go. Our jails are either understaffed or overcrowded. And places like Washington Parish, when you talk to them, they're like, yeah, but the people in the jail aren't non-violent, first-time offenders. The people in the jails right now, it's kind of hard. But what we have been able to do is say, yeah, but we can make sure that the public stays safe because you're going to have access to this. And it's opened a door for other providers as well. However, we want to make sure that when this does happen, that all of these providers have to follow this set of rules. One of the things I've noticed is the hardest is just making sure that everybody knows what the rules are and they're following. I've gotten a few phone calls from jurisdictions. One of the things that went into effect that's really going to help in January was making sure that the local jurisdictions have a registry for providers to register. Because when the Times-Picayune put out a release of information to all 64 parishes, they only got a response from eight. Only eight jurisdictions could tell the Times-Picayune who was being monitored and who was monitoring it. And right now with this local requirement for the courts and the sheriff to have a registration process for GPS providers, that's a step closer. However, we don't need 64 different registries. That would be just as much of a mess as not having one.
Well, I mean, and the difficulty is that everybody's going to report differently. Everybody will customize it. It won't be a standardized template. And, you know, from the law enforcement perspective, that's just not very useful, right? So you spend as much time trying to validate the information because it appears differently in these disparate databases as opposed to having a standardized template.
Right. And Representative Kerner was very, very on it when he says this is going to save lives. And it has. And being 100% accountable to the people, not only that we supervise, because we're accountable to them, too. They can look in the database and see what's going on. But to be 100% accountable to the public, to be 100% accountable to the victims that we supervise, that's important. On top of that, one of the things that is important is the ability to supervise someone all the way to the point of arrest. I want to make sure that the providers of GPS are able to go out and make sure that people are plugging in their ankle monitors and making sure that they're not tampering with their ankle monitor. So providers should be able to monitor a person all the way to the point. And in the set of standards, we need to make sure that that point is all the way to bringing them back to the jail and putting them back in when they don't follow the rules of the court.
Now, you just mentioned standards, and each one of y'all, I mean, you guys have been very aggressive. And you've been very open and transparent. I can't say the same for all other vendors. And so when some of this legislation is, will it remediate and standardize the way that reports are done, the way that it's monitored? Because your service is only good as the manner in which you monitor it, right?
That's correct. Well, the actual standard reporting process for victim violations, for strap tampers, for dead batteries, and for communication losses are already legislated. Providers have 24 hours to send a report to the court in regards to those four alerts. Those are the four alerts that are the most dangerous. Those are the ones where we're either going to lose the ability to supervise someone or a victim is in trouble. However, who is policing those? And a standardized registry, centralized registry that's available for the whole state is something that's going to allow not only law enforcement and the public, but also the courts to be able to look in and see if someone is actually following those conditions or not, or if someone picks up a new charge because they're running around with their ankle monitor cut off and the court didn't know because the provider never reported it. If there's not a centralized place for someone to police that process, then, you know, it's just words on paper. And that's the biggest thing that we're going to fight for this legislative session, is to ensure that it doesn't matter if Baton Rouge ordered you on an ankle monitor, or in this case, New Orleans. One of the offenders on the FBI letter that you guys talked about last week was a guy that committed a murder in Lafayette, got arrested 2 months later, a month later in Baton Rouge, and it took over 2 months for them to figure out who was supervising that person and if they were at the scene of that crime. A lot of evidence was lost in that case because there wasn't a centralized area for the local law enforcement in Lafayette or Baton Rouge to go to see if this person was actually on a main ankle monitor at the time of the murder or who was supervising it. And that's just, it doesn't make sense.
It turns out, he was, right?
He was at the scene of the crime. He was wearing the ankle monitor at the time. However, again, a lot of evidence, camera footage, stuff like that was missing because it took so long.
So long. Absolutely.
We
have what happened, unlike what happened with the multiple shooting on Iberville that y'all actually assisted in putting somebody at that location, right?
That's true. And that was that actually case was a reason why the violation reports became a big deal, because Nicholas Marana had 41 violations after only being on ankle monitor for 60 days. So that that was a big deal. You know, and every time we do a show, we get judges calling us. And in fact, just last week, the same day you guys did, we had a judge call and wanted to be upset about someone not being surrendered because we were going to take the ankle monitor off for him being noncompliant with our conditions. This offender was on as a bond condition, not a court order. However, because of his history and his charge, he required an ankle monitor for that bonding company to remain on that bond. And the judge called and was very ugly and attacked our processes because of this. And, you know, there isn't, and I don't think there should be, public monies used to pay for a pretrial ankle monitor. Again, we're not monitoring first offense nonviolent offenders. And so it's only when their history and their charge deem them a risk to the community that the courts or the bondsmen are ordering these ankle monitors to be put on. And it's just very important that we make sure that any provider. And what I'm happy of is right now you can't go on Amazon, buy an ankle monitor, and go to a jail and put on an ankle and put that ankle monitor on and not be accountable. You have to be responsible. And once we get all of the sheriffs and the courts across the state to have a registry, they will know who is at fault. And now we can really talk about accountability, because until we can pinpoint and make sure we know who is monitoring, who is responsible for that offender, we can't hold anybody accountable until we do that.
Right. No, no doubt about it. And just being open and transparent about it is the quickest way. We still have the issue, though. I'm kind of curious. You know, you say a judge called and was angry. But a lot of the judges, they get the notices, but they're not really even paying attention, are they?
More now they are. Since Nicholas Marana case, you know, it's a sad situation, and I always say, and I think I've said it on your show, it takes somebody actually getting killed before eyes start getting open. After Nicholas Marana killed one person and injured three other people, and now the violation reports, anybody in the public can go in, look at any section of court, and look and see if a judge is actually handling violations or not. If you have a guy that has 20 violations and he's still on an ankle monitor and hasn't had another court date, you don't see a court report, then you know that that judge isn't doing anything for those violations. However, we're getting calls, a lot of calls, when there is a question about a violation. If, you know, sometimes we'll have somebody late for curfew because the curfew, they get off of work and they just can't get home in time, but they're not running the street. So the judges are actually contacting us and they're fixing those. But then we also have ones sort of like Nicholas Marana, where it was, I don't care what the judge said, I'm going to go where I want. And we're reporting the violations to the curfews and nothing was being done. Again, I believe that situation has been fixed. We don't have very many sections of court where the violation reports aren't being looked at. And if you would like to see, again, it's public access. Anybody can get on and see those violation reports.
And where would they go to see that?
ASAPGPS.org. And if you go under more, you'll see New Orleans violations. So it's ASAPGPS.org. As vice president of the Association for Ankle Monitoring Providers, that's the first thing we did was create this registry. And again, we have offered this registry all across the state to the community, to law enforcement agencies, to the courts, and to the sheriffs at no cost. And we did that because this is the last key missing when it comes to public safety and accountability with ankle monitoring, pretrial and post-conviction.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of, you know, I've said often, anybody in the criminal justice system, you have to have the willingness and the desire to know. Right. So when these notifications come out, you have to set up systems within your own office to make sure that you get it, you receive it, you act on it. But you have to want to know And if you don't have that desire to know, it ain't going to work.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, the district attorney's office in New Orleans, after Nicholas Marana and everything came out with the violation reports, we actually sat down and worked out a process where we can ensure that all of the sections of court and the ADAs in each section get all of the violation reports. So in that process, if that ADA is in Section A today, the minute we hit submit on a violation report, the minute the provider hits submit, it automatically goes to the court, to the district attorney's office, to the provider, and to the offender. And that way, immediately, everybody knows. So through the registry, there's no extra work for any part of the criminal justice system to do. The provider will simply go in, add the important information that is required, name, address, court information, conditions, into the system. The minute they hit submit, the court gets a notification of enrollment. The sheriff gets a notification of enrollment. The clerk gets a notification of enrollment. Everybody that needs the notification by the law, they get it automatically. And then from there, anytime there's a violation after that, they get it automatically. The minute the provider hits submit, it goes out to everybody. And that's important. Because the law says if they no one can intentionally withhold these reports. This shows you're not intentionally withholding anything. It keeps everybody in compliance with the law, and it keeps our community safe.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for everything that y'all do, the successes that you've had. I mean, it's case after case after case. We hear about them all the time. And we love the direction that this is going in. Jill Dennis, director, owner of the Assured Supervision Accountability Program, otherwise known as ASAP, all about electronic ankle monitoring. Thank you so much for joining us today. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. So President Trump delivers his first State of the Union address in this term. And joining us to talk about is Bernie Pinsenot, political analyst. Bernie, welcome to the show.
Hey, Noel.
Hey. We got a little bit of a bad connection there. So, Bernie, as you know, there's always polling on how this State of the Union went. Obviously, you have a tendency to have more overrepresentation of both Republicans and independents when you have a Republican, and the same holds true for a Democrat who's delivering a Democratic State of the Union. What were people's, what were folks' response to what Donald Trump had to say?
Well, they did something that they, I guess, should do a lot of polling when it comes to the presidential leave in Congress. You know, they pointed out Republicans were wildly in love with it, and Democrats were not. They probably weren't. They weren't as unhappy about the speech as the House, the congressmen, Democratic congressmen and Democratic senators were. But no, it was a Republicans loved it. Democrats were so-so with it. A lot of them didn't like it. There's so much. I guess you'd say there's so much hate with politics in Washington. The division is so real now that Republicans like anything and everything Trump does, or mostly. And with the rhetoric on the other side and the anti-Trump rhetoric and all the other stuff, you know, I wouldn't expect many Democratic voters to think he gave a great speech. But he's been elected. He can't. He doesn't have to run again. But overall, he did well enough where the majority of people in the United States gave him a positive rating.
Yeah, I was looking at a CNN poll where 8 in 10 Americans said they did not like the manner in which Democrats acted in while Trump was delivering the speech. And it seems as though there's kind of, you know, still a decorum that they expect to see during a State of the Union address, and they were unhappy about what they saw.
As you know, I worked for U.S. Senator Bennett Johnston for about 10 years, and it's kind of sad to see that, hey, look, if the president's saying something you don't like, give him, you know, clap your fingers together, which is what they used to do, whether it was whoever was the president. They would barely clap, and, you know, they were polite, but showed no emotion, invested nothing in the speech, but they were polite, and they literally clapped their hands together with maybe 4 decibels, but they were respectful. So you don't have that today, especially the show that was put on by the Democrats. That I think one of the things that I think you saw in what you're saying to me with that survey is a lot of the Democrats didn't like what he had to say, but they still thought that he's still the president and he should be given respect. He represents us as a country, and Democrats show total disrespect. And I think, I don't know if they're going to figure it out, but as you're watching, I'm watching, I've never seen Democrats in such disarray and doing so many silly, stupid things.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. You know, almost every time that Tip O'Neill would come to town, I had the benefit of providing security for him. And had the benefit of lengthy conversations about how Democrats and Republicans acted towards one another back then. And, you know, he always said, you know, Newell, he goes, we always treated each other in a fashion where we knew we were going to have a beer together in about 20 minutes. It was, and I'm like, I'm sitting there as a young guy. I was probably 19, 20 years of age. And I'm like, really? And, you know, I've kind of tried to emulate that in my life. You know, it's like, you know, just kind of act like in 20 minutes, you're going to be having a beer together.
Well, you know, I know, having been there with Senator Bennett Johnson, that's the way they operated. I mean, what Tip was saying was 100% true. Bennett was close with lots of Republicans. I mean, nobody was a bigger supporter of Ronald Reagan than Bennett Johnson, and he and you remember this. He traveled across Louisiana bragging about how he was a big Reagan supporter. It was good politics for him, but it was also good for the state because of the, you know, Louisiana is a poor state and all the problems we have, Medicaid and everything else, and the lack of funding for bridges and whatever else, and being close to the president never hurt anyone's voters. So, but you know, that's sort of fading away right now.
And I always have the what about, you know, folks that text in. Don't forget about Marjorie Taylor Greene. Well, I don't excuse her behavior at all. In fact, when she acted the fool when Biden was president, you know, I talked about it and called it out then. It was uncalled for. It didn't need to happen. It shouldn't happen. I mean, you know, if we can't act like the adults in the room, I don't know where we're going with this, right?
Yeah, there are three or four Republicans that turn me off the way they project themselves, the way they discuss the issues, the way they attack Democrats, which is silly. Start rumors, conspiracy theorists. I mean, that, you know, their actions are just as dumb as the Democrats. And you know, will we ever get back to where people were respected, and your fellow elected officials, and you should treat each other that way? I don't know, Newell. I mean, I don't know if we crossed the point of no return where civility is gone from politics. We can't get along. We can't agree on anything. I mean, it's amazing that, you know, I'm looking at tariffs, and I'm looking at the Democratic base, and you're looking at the automobile industry, and you and I know that Trump's laughing all the way to the positive numbers for Republicans. The base of the Democratic Party are those auto workers and those unions, AFL-CIO, and I mean, and the Democrats are just working as hard as they can to run those people out of their base. I mean, Trump's having so much fun putting the pressure on automobile companies to bring back jobs in the unions, who used to be, as you and I know, 100% Democrats, are slowly but surely have been drifting towards Republicans, and now they're moving towards the Republican base as fast as they can get there. And, like, you know, they've been your base forever, and you're going to desert those people? So I can't figure out where they're going and what they're doing, and the civility of, on both sides, we can question that, but the Democrats seem to be more bent than ever on hurting their image just because they want to destroy Trump. It's all about Trump now.
But is it, I believe that, but I think there's an additional factor here, and that's the internal friction between those just left of center and those that are the progressive far left. And there's it seems to me to be an internal battle, one in which Hakeem Jeffries has tried very hard, I think, to try and placate all the parties, hasn't been successful. I think if you were to ask him privately how unhappy he was with conduct exhibited the other evening, I think he would say he was not happy at all. In fact, I know that they had a meeting in the aftermath of that to say, folks, you got to play the long game here. You know, this is not going to play well for you. And don't come crying to me when you need help in districts to get reelected and people are saying they don't want you. Right.
Well, you look at what's going on with one specific issue, and it's the transgender women's sports, girls' sports thing, 80+% of the United States disagrees with the Democratic position. And yet they had a vote in the Senate, and every 47 of the Democrats voted against their own
best
advice
interest
for themselves on political. But they're being drugged there, and they won't let go of them. They're making them, you're 100% right. The left is pulling them into issues that the majority of the people think that we can all agree that this is common sense. Well, common sense with the far left doesn't seem to be reality, and I don't know how the Democrats, somebody's got to pull away from them. You're starting to see more and more criticism, and you're correct, of those positions. So it's just a matter of when are they going to make that move. If they don't, I don't see how they win an election.
Well, Gavin Newsom made a move the other day, and it's being reported on extensively, and it's very interesting because I know that, and he's talked about his consideration of making that run in 2028, and it's more obvious to me now that's the path and the glide path that he's on, and he's already retreated off of that hard position on that issue. He's still wordsmithing it to death, but it's interesting to see, you know, and to see how far this goes and where this ultimately ends up.
Well, that's a good point you make, because number one, he's outside of Congress. He's outside of the Beltway. The Beltway seems to be where the Democrats are, you know, can't find any relief from the left wing. Will it come from outside? You're probably right. Gavin Newsom is not part of, he's not a congressman, he's not a senator, and probably, and he's surmised, that I can't get elected president by following those people around. No one in Washington, I got news for him, talking about this senator here and this senator there. I think Gavin Newsom is probably the most likely, whether Republicans don't like him, but he's an attractive candidate. And if I'm a Democratic strategist, I think that he's probably one of your best bets. Why? Because he's not part of the swamp in Washington. That's where the left seems to have the most pressure, and they seem to keep that pressure. Yet outside of Washington, people like Gavin Newsom, you're probably right, will emerge and be the real contenders, not someone inside of Washington.
It'll be interesting to see where the money goes, because you know as well as I, the money's controlled from inside the Beltway.
Yep, as my old boss Bennett used to say, follow the money.
Follow the money, because that's going to be the next interesting point out there to see where that ultimately, and it's still a little early, but we will monitor it nonetheless. As always, Bernie Pensinat, we appreciate your time, your insight. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Neil. Always appreciate you. Later.
Thank you, sir. Bernie Pensinat, political analyst. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Give us a shout. We'll be right back. Well, folks, I enjoyed spending time with you today on No Filter Friday. We started out with an hour, you know, talking about issues and hearing from you as to what you think about any number of things. And I always enjoy hearing from my listening audience and what they have on their mind. And we spent some time with Bruce Gentleson about the Arab plan versus the Trump plan. And this is going to be very interesting to watch this unfold as to how reach a maturation point here, whether it's going to be a two-state solution or not. I'm not very confident that that's something that's going to lead to peace and prosperity in Israel at all. There's just so much hate there. I just don't see it happening. And then to Chris Edwards talking about Doge and whether or not we should talk about some of the corporate welfare, corporate handouts that are going on as well. A lot of money there It's something that should be addressed. I know that some of it is being addressed by the Trump administration. And as Chris and Cato in their study pointed out, there's a lot more on the table that they should be thinking about. And then Jill Dennis with ASAP, they are really forward-leaning with electronic monitoring, ankle monitoring. They are really making a difference in our community day in and day out, and we appreciate that. One of the extraordinary things that happened during the State of the Union address, and I was just going through this poll again, it's a CBS News YouGov poll that was conducted. 76% of those polled among the speech watchers approved of the Texas congressman being removed from the chamber because of his disruptive conduct. He's ultimately been censured by the House. It'll be interesting to see what some of the polling will show relative to that. 10 Democrats crossed the aisle and voted in favor of censuring that individual who went to the mic and to the podium and said, "Wouldn't change a thing. I would do it again." And I think that was a difference maker for some of the Democrats in the chamber that day. We'll be right back. We'll check in with Scoot to see what he has coming your way on Free for All Friday. Stay with us. Scoot joins us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Well, you know, there's all that talk about tariffs, and we got to get into a little bit about that. And how about this guy who is now running for mayor? He's got all the credentials needed. He's been indicted. He's got, there's accusations against him. These are the kind of people we need running our city. So we'll talk a little bit about that. I know, perfect credentials. I could never win it. I've never been arrested. We'll get into all of that this afternoon. And it's Free for All Friday.
Absolutely. Stay tuned. Scoot's got a great lineup coming your way. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Have a wonderful and safe weekend. We'll see you again Monday morning.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.